Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live Chat Room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're listening to The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
I grew up in a decidedly Irish Catholic neighborhood. My mother grew up in an area of Syracuse, New York, referred to as Tip Hill, Tipperary Hill. In fact, Tip Hill is the proud possessor of the only street light in America that has the green light above the red light. Word is that the neighborhood children used to throw rocks at it when it first went up because the red was over the green. And they didn't like the Italian flavor of that, so they would break the lenses. And then finally, the city gave up, and they just reversed the order so that the green would be on top. It's not fun for colorblind people, I would imagine, but it is a source of pride for Tip Hill. And they had all sorts of slang and nicknames. My mother went to school with Booger and Rots and Bug Eyes and guys like this, and I'd see them. They'd be in their 50s. I was a teenager, and you know, I'd be introduced, hey, this is Moon Mullins, and you know, they stuck with them for life. They also had great slang, like if somebody was a little sus, they were a little sketchy, yeah, they were a Gisigami. And if something wasn't quite right, it was a little foolish, that's hoogie. That's just hoogie. I learned Stumblebum from my mother. She was a big fight fan. She used to watch the Friday night fights with her dad, and it was one of her fondest memories of childhood. She used to love the fights. And she taught me the term Stumblebum. And for folks that aren't fight fans or don't know, a Stumblebum is a guy who wasn't a good enough fighter to keep from getting punched in the head so many times that he ended up what was called punch drunk. Today we recognize it as severe neurological damage, but they used to call it punch drunk because guys would stagger around like they were drunk, and they weren't drunk. It was just because they'd been hit in the head a few too many times. Well, Joe Biden, I dubbed him Stumblebum Joe years ago because he's just so inept. See, the first meaning of the word stumblebum in the dictionary now, a punch drunk or second-rate prize fighter, is now the second meaning. The first meaning is a person regarded as blundering or inept. I dubbed him Stumblebum Joe before he first tripped anywhere. It was back in the Obama administration. In fact, it was when he leaned in and when Obama had signed the Obamacare legislation into law. And there's Joe leaning in, trying to insert himself into an historic moment. And he whispers in Barack's ear, that's a big effing deal. Except he didn't say effing. And I just thought, man, this guy is just so cringe. He's just, ugh. Guy's an inveterate liar. He lies like most people breathe, right? He's never told a piece of information in his life that wasn't some flavor of lie. He can't tell an outright truth. There's always got to be a little lie spin on it, right? Yes, he went to Syracuse University. No, he was not at the top of his class. He was at the bottom of his class. Yes, he got financial aid. No, it wasn't a scholarship. Yes, he's done a lot of things. No, he hasn't done everything he said he's done. He had, back in the 1980s, the Democratic Party actually had some integrity. Gary Hart photographed in the back of a boat called Monkey Business with Jessica Hahn on his lap. And you can't make that up, right? You couldn't stage something as unreal as having a Democrat presidential candidate on the stern of a boat with a woman who is not his wife, as they so delicately used to put it. And the boat's name is Monkey Business. Like, you couldn't make that up, right? Today, they'd accuse you of photoshopping it in. So Gary Hart, he had to drop out of the race. Joe Biden, you not only stole Neil Kinnock's entire stump speech, but it turns out that Neil Kinnock's entire stump speech was based on Neil Kinnock's actual life. So you didn't just steal his stump speech. You stole his actual life story. Sorry, Joe, you are ineligible to be president. And yet, fast forward to today, and here we are. But now, Joe has fulfilled my nickname. He has lived up to it, because not only has he repeatedly stumbled up the stairs, you know, President Trump, they put a metal ramp with no carpet on it in the rain, and he's got leather shoes. And they, I think, intentionally didn't put a carpet on the ramp. And he's holding the handrail. Well, they made a big deal about him holding the handrail. But Joe Biden today, folks, he dropped like Hulk Hogan had clotheslined him. He hit the deck hard at the Air Force Academy. He came in like a fighter that just grabbed the last hook, the last landing line on a carrier. I mean, he went down like a sack of potatoes. The guy is physically, mentally, morally, ethically, spiritually, and in every other way, unfit to occupy the Oval Office. I'm Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning. Join TNT Radio on the annual pilgrimage to the healing city of Bath in southwest England to hear the pioneers and innovators of our time reveal how excellent health has been hidden from us and explore what the reveal means for the better world we are co-creating. The Better Way Conference 2023 at the Apex Hotel in Bath, UK, from this Thursday, June 1st to Sunday, June 4th. Unveiling a better way for health, freedom, and sovereignty. The Better Way Conference 2023, heard only on TNT Radio.
Your trusted news source.
They stick to the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
If citizens who believe in free speech and individuality are weeds, what better way to eliminate them than to remove them while they are still young? Boston's Federal District Court has ruled against a Massachusetts seventh grader's right to wear a T-shirt expressing an opinion that was in opposition to district administration views. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Ruckus Clark.
Thanks, Timothy. You know, I told myself I wasn't going to do this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Adolf Hitler once said, and I'm quoting this disgusting person, "He alone who owns the youth gains the future." And up until recent history, sadly, perhaps only he would have approved of this kind of disgusting leftist attack on free speech. This is just making me angry. All right, so a Massachusetts district court denied a request on Wednesday from the lawyers of a 12-year-old student seeking to exercise his free speech rights by wearing a T-shirt that said, quote, "There are only two genders," end quote. Wow. The U.S. District Court for the District of Massachusetts in Boston refused to grant a temporary injunction preventing Nicholas Middle School from restricting seventh grader Liam Morrison's freedom to express his views on gender while the court considers its final decision. According to Alliance Defending Freedom legal counsel Logan Spana, talking to Fox News today, I believe, quote, "Liam's not asking to literally wear whatever he wants, but he is asking to do what other students are already allowed to do, which is express their view on this topic in a non-disruptive manner." He continues, quote, "They claim that because Liam's message is not inclusive, they can exclude it. What they don't account for is how does their own speech and all the other speech they already permit impact Liam," end quote. The ADF and Massachusetts Family Institute sued Nichols Middle School and the town of Middleborough on Morrison's behalf last month after he was pulled out of gym class and ordered to remove the shirt in question on March 21st. When he refused, his father was called to take him home. School staff reportedly told the seventh grader his shirt was, quote-unquote, targeting a protected class and it created a, quote, disruption to learning, end quote, because it was making some people feel unsafe, though he later told the Middleborough School Committee that, quote, unquote, not one person had expressed discomfort or was upset when he wore the shirt to class. When Morrison protested the school's censorship by wearing another shirt to class last month, reading, quote, there are only censored genders, end quote. It was very clever what he did. He pulled out of class. He was pulled out of class within minutes in order to remove it as well. At a Middleborough School Committee meeting in April, Morrison questioned who is the quote unquote protected class he had offended. He says, quote, are their feelings more important than my rights? Is what he asked, pointing out that he didn't complain when the school hung, quote, pride flags and diversity posters, end quote, in the halls because, quote, others have a right to their beliefs just as I do, end quote. Nichols Middle School has stood behind its dress code, which prohibits messages on clothing that, quote, state, imply, or depict hate speech or imagery that target groups based on race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, religious affiliation, or any other classification, end quote. The lawsuit argues that the school's promotion of Pride Month and other LGBTQ, all the other letters, initiatives, while barring Morrison from expressing his contrary views, constitutes a violation of not only the First, but the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection under the law. The next hearing is scheduled for June 13th. There you have it, Timothy.
I'd like to point out two things, and this one cuts close to the bone, okay? Because my children were both educated in Boston, but being the good father that I was, I brought them up Yankee fans. And my daughter, one year, they had sports day. And on sports day, you could wear the jersey of your favorite player. So some people wore a Tom Brady number 12 Patriots jersey, and other people wore Red Sox jerseys. My daughter wore Derek Jeter's Yankee jersey. Went to school knowing the hate that she would get and reveling in it. You see, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So she goes to school in her Yankee jersey. And in Boston, when they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, they get to the part because it's root, root, root. They don't say the home team. They say Red Sox. She was dead. When they got to the root, 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 I stood up and threw my finger in the air and I said, Yankees! And then she proceeded to go out onto the field and win every single competition. Fastest to first base, fastest around the four bases, longest throw, most accurate throw. She beat all the boys wearing a Derek Jeter jersey. This kid's name is Liam Morrison. He's cut from the same cloth. Don't mess with the Boston Irish. And Middleborough's a suburb. Middleborough's halfway to Rhode Island. It doesn't matter. Okay? I actually love that this happened because this is going to get overturned. If it doesn't get overturned at the First Circuit, it's going to get overturned at the Supreme Court. This is such a blatant violation of young Liam's constitutional rights. It highlights, however, for the parents, the fact that the people running our government indoctrination centers are absolute fascists, and they need to be removed, and they need to never, ever be hired anyplace else again, except maybe Target or Budweiser or now Chick-fil-A. So I think that this is just going to bring more and more people to the awareness that we're no longer in a left versus right paradigm. This is no longer Democrats versus Republicans. This is globalists versus the citizenry, right? This is people that want to control and subjugate us and have us be their personal little serfs. And we're not having it.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of, you know, pussyfooting around the whole Hitler quote there, but it's clear that this is a communist type driven agenda. Everything that we're seeing, you know, this is not the same America as with that story you were describing about your daughter. There's, I mean, sure, it's just Derek Jeter, but now, you know, whatever, she probably would have done something like this and she would have gotten in trouble.
Oh, 100%.
And you probably would have gotten arrested based on knowing what.
Probably. Well, I definitely would have been arrested. Yeah, I'd be a domestic terrorist, no question about it. The fact that they didn't even have the sense of humor. See, this is the thing. These people are absolutely humorless. You go in with a, there are censored genders. No. We cannot tolerate dissent. We must stamp that out and crush it under our jackbooted heel. I'm telling you, there's a seething anger out there. And they're talking about domestic terrorism. They don't have to worry about domestic terrorism. Nobody's going to be getting violent. The only domestic terrorism is going to be from at the hands of the FBI or CIA assets. Okay, what happened to that 30,000 pounds, 60,000 pounds of, it was 30 tons of ammonium nitrate that went missing. Okay, where's that going to show up? I guarantee it's going to be with a bunch of chads wearing khaki shorts and polo shirts and black military style watches and face gaiters, right? We all know the look. Every false flag has been a FBI/CIA chad for the last 5 years, including the Fed surrection. So people are angry, and they're going to take that anger into the voting booth, and I say good on them. Thanks for a great story, Adam. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jesse Zurawell.
A bill which was on the verge of possibly being signed into law that would place a heavy burden on people who were opposing development, real estate development, land development. And DeSantis signed it into law. Not much was reported on this anywhere.
He had until May 24th to sign this bill, which was SB 540, or what we kind of dubbed it, the sprawl bill, because it basically has the potential to enable these sprawling developments all across Florida, whether it be a development that encroaches into the Everglades and further messes with that environment, or whether it's something like smart city development, which definitely, without a doubt, needs to be channeled going into the future the further and further we get into Agenda 2030 and get closer to that actual year. So just last Wednesday, rather than veto it or not sign it at all, which would have let it become a law to begin with, he signed it.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
I've been looking forward to bringing my next guest on ever since the Durham report dropped. Roger Stone is the man behind the men over the last 50 years now, going back to Richard Nixon. You can check out all of his takes on his podcast, The Stone Zone, at stonezone.live. It's my great pleasure to welcome back to The Reckoning, Roger Stone.
Tim, I'm delighted to be with you.
Roger, there's an old Latin saying, quis custodiat ipsos custodes, who guards the guardians? How do we correct a runaway DOJ and FBI? Who's going to put these criminals behind bars?
It can only be done by electing a new president. It can only be done by a chief executive who is committed to the rule of law. It can only be done by a president who will rebalance the power of the three branches of government. Look, I've been in politics, God, longer than I want to remember. I've known Donald Trump for 44 years. And politics was always competitive in the United States. It's not beanbagged. It's a contact sport. But now, Democrats don't want to just defeat you in a free, fair, honest, transparent election. They want to destroy you. They want to send you to prison. They want to destroy your family. They want to bankrupt you. They want to blacken your name. It was never like this in the 80s when I worked for Ronald Reagan. It was never like this. So I've never seen a situation in which law enforcement and the courts are so incredibly politicized. Let's take the, just for example, this entire question about President Trump's handling of documents. Well, we now know definitively that Joe Biden, as vice president and president, held on to documents he shouldn't have had. But it appears like charges are going to be brought against President Trump, while I don't think any charges in this area will be brought against Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Steve Bannon is charged with contempt of Congress when he refuses to testify for the January 6th committee. I'm charged and convicted with obstructing a congressional investigation into Russian collusion, which we both know now definitively never happened. So there was nothing to lie about or cover up. But the head of the FBI can tell a congressional committee of the House asking for documents that they're entitled to by law to pound sand. And what will happen? Congressman Comer, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, can send a contempt citation to the Justice Department under Merrick Garland. But Merrick Garland is the FBI director's boss. So what are the chances that he's going to charge him? Zero.
Zero. It's really gotten, I don't know whether it's like reading a Kafka novel or if it's like reading a bad parody of a dystopian future. A lot of people, I was there on January 6th. Julie Kelly is now looking at the video and she's come out and she says, people will be very alarmed to see how police conducted themselves on January 6th. They absolutely will be, because I've had friends report that they saw police with batons beating grandmothers that were sprawled on the ground. Just horrible actions by some of the Capitol Police. And we're learning now it was 100% a Fedsurrection done with Antifa, Agence Provocateur, that changed clothes. They were wearing black block, and then they put on Trump gear over the top of that. Well, no Trump supporter wears black block. The whole thing was so obvious. Bobby Powell filmed it all on the east side of the Capitol. We've all seen a lot of the video from the west side of the Capitol. We talk about the need to elect him. There's only one man. Okay. Ron DeSantis is not the guy. And quite frankly, I can't believe that he's really going to try to run to the right of Donald Trump. We need 4 more years of Donald Trump with no worries about securing a second term, going to DC and taking a wrecking ball to the place.
I could not agree more. I think Julie Kelly is a great reporter and a great truth teller. I was not there on January 6th. I gave a speech on January 5th. I didn't go to the Ellipse. I didn't march to the Capitol. I wasn't at the Capitol. But even today, the media attempts to use guilt by association. Roger Stone was seen with a member of the Oath Keepers. You know what that proves? That proves nothing whatsoever.
Well,
Roger Stone,
except the fact,
it's outrageous.
Well, it proves that you were exercising one of your First Amendment rights, the right to peaceably assemble.
And the right to free association, but any claim that I knew in advance about, participated in, or condoned any illegal action on January 6th is just categorically false. And look, there is no email, no text message, no witness, no phone call, no encrypted message that can contradict that. But I have to put up with it every single day. As you know, once an idea reaches critical mass on Twitter, no matter how demented or debunked or false that is, the bloodlust of the American left just gets out of control. In all honesty, at this juncture, I can't go out to a restaurant or a drugstore or a grocery store, with unaccompanied or with just my family for fear of either verbal or in some cases, physical harassment. The left in this country has gotten increasingly violent. They have gotten increasingly vocal. This whole tendency, it just blows my mind. I mean, if I went to a restaurant and I saw Nancy Pelosi eating dinner, you know what I would do? I would ignore her. That's what I would do. But I certainly wouldn't go up and drop F-bombs at her table, nor would I threaten her.
You know what I would do? I don't have the profile. She wouldn't know who I was. But if I had your profile, I'd send her over a bottle of champagne and just wave.
We all know Nancy.
I love... she'd be like, where's everyone else's?
she would drink.
That's what I'm saying. I love how you live in their head rent free, but you're absolutely right. This is how demented they are. I had a hard left progressive, fits all the stereotypes, checks all the boxes progressive last week, tell me that she knows that there actually is a Donald Trump P tape. It's just that they're covering it up because he's no longer president. This is how demented they are. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
Are you ready for some awesome news?
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is set to call for greater cooperation with European partners over illegal migration as he meets with European leaders at a summit in Moldova today. In Canada, the federal Conservatives are set to introduce a motion on June 1st calling on the Liberal government to scrap its incoming clean fuel regulations, which are set to take effect at the beginning of July.
Do you have a suggestion for a possible guest you'd like to hear on TNT Radio?
Or perhaps you have a topic you feel we should discuss?
Then we want to hear from you. Simply complete the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Roger, I don't know what you think about Ron DeSantis' recent foray into presidential politics. I think it's the most egregious instance of political biting the hand that fed you, taking out the man who made you. And I think DeSantis has squandered a sure-fired opportunity. You know, he was a Little League World Series champion. The guy was a great baseball player, but he bobbled this ball badly.
I could not agree more. Look, I live in Florida. I voted for him 3 times. I voted for him in the 2018 Republican primary, voted him for governor. He barely made it, running against a crackhead. I voted for him in this most recent election. But people who don't live in Florida don't necessarily understand the full story. The entire Republican establishment of Florida, all 67 Republican county chairmen, every single elected Republican in both houses of the legislature, the state house and the state senate, the Senate president, the Speaker of the House, every single Republican member of Congress except Matt Gaetz, all endorsed Adam Putnam, the establishment Republican agriculture commissioner. Ron DeSantis was at 7 in the points. He was running behind 41-7. Trump likes to say 3, but he exaggerates. It was 7. Donald Trump was convinced by Matt Gaetz, a friend of mine, to take a flyer on DeSantis. Now, what President Trump did not know was Ron DeSantis never endorsed Donald Trump in 2016 after he was the nominee of the Republican Party. He refused to endorse Donald Trump.
Right.
He said, just because we're running on the same ticket doesn't mean I support Trump. By the way, Trump carried DeSantis's congressional district at a higher percentage than DeSantis was reelected.
DeSantis did. Yeah.
DeSantis then saw the main chance to reinvent himself as a defender of Trump in the Russian collusion hoax. That's the first time he came to Trump's attention. Trump had never heard of Ron DeSantis or Ron DeSantis, depending on how he's pronouncing it today. So Trump took a flyer. That tweet by Trump endorsing Ron DeSantis catapulted him ahead of Adam Putnam, the state agriculture commissioner, won him the nomination by double digits. But then Ron DeSantis was mired in a very, very tight race after he lost 2 debates to the Democrat. And Trump had to change his schedule to come to Florida 3 times in the last 2 weeks to literally drag Ron, who doesn't have a lot of interpersonal skills as a candidate, shall we say, across the finish line. So when Trump says he made Ron DeSantis, that is not an exaggeration. I've been in politics, for 50 plus years. I'm a believer in loyalty. I'm a believer in gratitude. Ron DeSantis has been a pretty good governor. His record's not nearly as good as he tells you. His record on COVID is not different than Donald Trump's. I have met people who lost children because they believed Governor DeSantis when they saw him on TV saying the vaccination was safe and effective.
Roger, we were both at CPAC in Orlando, and we saw the mask Nazis in the hotel. Ron's on stage proclaiming how Florida's open for business, and there's mask Nazis 40 feet outside in the hallway. Florida isn't nearly as Florida as he wanted people to believe.
You're exactly right. So he issued a mask mandate saying that the school systems could not require children to wear masks. The seven largest counties in the state told him to stuff it. 3.7 million children are still being forced to wear masks all the way into 2022. What did Ron do? He had the statutory authority to fire those school boards and replace them with people who would fulfill the mandate. He did nothing because it was a press release. Ron is great
of course at it was.
Press releases.
I used a back channel. I have a friend who serves on two boards, two advisory boards, whose son was one of Ron's Little League World Series champion teammates. So he knows Ron since Ron's a boy. And I said, you got to get him to do this. And he said, he came back, says he doesn't have the statutory authority. I said, the hell he doesn't. And let's play like the Democrats for once. Do it. Make them take you to court. Lose in court. Go ahead, but do it. Act. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I really don't have that power, when you absolutely do have that power.
And that's not even true. So we know that after the horrible shootings at the Parkland High School, Parkland School in Fort Lauderdale, that Ron DeSantis fired the county sheriff. The sheriff challenged his authority in court and he lost. There's the precedent.
That's right.
Ron DeSantis does not have, there's no requirement that you have to have broken the law. He has absolute discretion to fire those school boards. Instead, when the Leon County School Board defied him on masks, he fined them heavily, put out a great press release. As soon as the election was over, he canceled the fines. That's Ron DeSantis. All talk.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's great at the political stunts. I did love him sending a plane full of illegals up to Martha's Vineyard. I used to summer on Martha's Vineyard and I just absolutely reveled in that. But that's all he's good for, is the stunt. A lot of people have dug into his background and they're very worried about the Yale College Secret Society, the Harvard Law School. You know, here's Harvard for you, right? Lori Lightfoot, I call her Lori Lightweight, fails miserably as the mayor of Chicago. Miserably. Worst mayor in America. Even worse than Mayor Pete. And she was just rewarded with a cushy teaching gig at Harvard. It's like Harvard is where failed Democrats go to lick their wounds. And people aren't impressed with the Yale College undergrad, Secret Society undergrad, Harvard Law School. And yes, he did serve in the military, and we honor his service, but it was in the JAG Corps. He wasn't a warfighter. People are very leery about these deep state connections.
I don't disagree. Plus, people need to understand that we have a state law that says that if you hold state office and you want to run for federal office, you have to first resign the state office. So let's say I was in the state house and I wanted to run for Congress. I would be required to resign my state office before I could run for federal office. It has always been that way. The legislature, under pressure from the governor, has changed the law, not for everybody, just for Ron DeSantis. So he alone can run for president. But if a House member wanted to run for Congress, they'd have to resign. Why did he do that? Well, that allows him to keep the governorship while he's running for president. Why does that matter? Well, he took $9.5 million from Florida Power and Light for his various political committees. You know what I got? I got the doubling of my electric bill. That's what right. I got. My cousin, who lives, on the west coast of Florida, he lost his home. He was wiped out. This entire home was destroyed in the hurricane. His home insurance company is now offering him pennies on the dollar. He can't even replace the roof, never mind replace his home. But under a law signed by Ron DeSantis, after Ron took $4.5 million from the insurance companies, he's barred from suing the insurance company to replace his loss. So look, he is a career politician. He will say whatever sounds good. He knows that the energy in the party is in the America First wing of the party. He's trying to have it both ways on the war in Ukraine. I personally think not another penny should be sent to Ukraine. Not another penny.
Absolutely not.
He's
Let's
attempting
take care of our people here at home first.
We have 370,000 homeless veterans. Could we take care of them before we send $1 billion so that Zelensky and his cronies can steal it?
And funnel it back to Democrat campaigns using cryptocurrency?
Funny you should mention that. That guy, Samuel Banks Friedman, is from right here in Fort Lauderdale where I'm from. He's got family here. This is one of the great scandals, but...
It's huge. Way bigger than Teapot Dome, but nobody's ever talking about it. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
One of the more repulsive things that has happened with the climate change issue is seeing all these people come out of the woodwork who do not love the weather for the weather's sake. They only love the weather when they can use it for their own purpose. And their purpose has nothing to do with the weather. It has to do with the political agenda. So another classic shows up. Back on May 9th, a friend of mine alerted me to the idea that we were predicting it to be very cold in India. And the reason we were looking in India was because we were also studying the cyclone. Remember how we were predicting the big cyclone to develop, right? So we were looking at the whole weather pattern in there. And he alerted me to the fact that it was a record-breaking month for applicants to climb Mount Everest, which was a pretty unaware thing to do, given how cold it was. So we let people know, right? So we've had 17 people tragically die up on Mount Everest trying to scale that. And what does the Guardian do? They blame climate change. And this is exactly what goes on, folks. They had no idea what was going to be happening with the weather, but as soon as it happens, and it's not because of climate change, they blame climate change. This agenda is one of deception, distortion, and delusion. And the examples are coming fast and furious because of the fact that there's a big offensive on the way now because they realize people are waking up to the whole scam. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to put that stuff aside and enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test, and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested, get treated, get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Roger, you mentioned how collegial professional politics used to be, and it really did. It was a bare knuckles brawl, but at the end of the campaign, you could share a beer with your opponents and tell stories on each other. The hijinks were of the nature of pantsing your buddy as he was chatting up the lifeguard. It's not like that anymore, as you mentioned. They're out for blood now. I think that the only person in America that can pull the Democratic Party back from the edge of the abyss into which they seem inexorably drawn is Bobby Kennedy Jr. I also think he's the only politician that presents a real challenge to President Trump based on his early opposition to the COVID-19 vaccines and all the COVID-19 protocols that killed so many. Where do you stand on Bobby Jr.?
I'm an admirer. We are not intimate friends. I have met him. I like him a lot. I have read his incredible book, The Real Anthony Fauci. I have seen the companion documentary. I think he's a man of extraordinary courage. It would be a mistake to determine that he was just Johnny One Note. Yes, he is an advocate for health freedom. Yes, he is a skeptic about the safety and the effectiveness of vaccinations. But his worldview is an anti-neocon worldview. It's very much an America First worldview. He is not in favor of rushing into war in Ukraine. He also is that rare Democrat who wants to seal our southern border to end the flood of criminals and drugs into the country. I think that the way he has spoken out about the Central Intelligence Agency's involvement in the murder of his uncle and his father, John Kennedy, and U.S. Senator Robert Kennedy, has been enormously courageous. I wrote a book on this subject, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, which documents the CIA's role in the conspiracy. So Robert Kennedy is exactly right. I just argue that the conspiracy is a little broader than perhaps he does. I pray for his safety, in all honesty, because I think he is so effective as a truth teller. I watched a great interview with him with Laura Ingraham, but it outrages me that ABC interviews him, CBS interviews him, but they leave 80% of the interview on the cutting room floor because
and they're shameless about it.
They admit it, but they have decided that you and I can't listen to him and decide for ourselves whether we believe him or whether we want to weigh what he has to say. They decide in advance that he spouts misinformation as opposed to letting us decide that. In all honesty.
Just like CNN. CNN got so much blowback because they had the audacity to allow President Trump to have a platform. How dare you let the man speak?
I'm very impressed with Robert Kennedy. The more I see, the more impressed I am, because when he is pressed, he can always cite documentation of every single thing he ever says. So this guy doesn't shoot from the hip. It's not just his opinion.
Nope.
He is very
He's got the
learned.
Receipts. Yeah.
He really does have the receipts, and he gets the bigger picture. He understands the danger of the deep state. He calls it the consolidation of government corporate power, but it's the same thing. In all honesty, the sad part is they're going to kneecap him the way they kneecap Bernie Sanders.
Hypothetically, let's say they Bernie Sanders Bobby Kennedy, and let's say the Republican Party. All my life I've said that the greatest threat to the Republican Party are the Republicans running the Republican Party. Let's say they take out Donald Trump and it's going to be DeSantis versus whatever jamoke the Democrats put up, because we all know it's not going to be Joe Biden. What do you think about the possibility? I've had a lot of people ask me this, and Bobby's already been asked, and he said, no, I would never want to be Donald Trump's running mate. But I think that might be the only chance an independent ticket would ever have. If it were Trump-Kennedy, Trump for 4 years, Kennedy for 8, I think that's the only way a third-party candidate could possibly ever win in America.
There are a lot of problems. First of all, many, many states have what are called sore loser laws. Therefore, if you Yep. have stood for election in the primaries of either the Republican or Democratic primary, you're not permitted to be on the ballot in that state in the general election. I wrote a Substack piece a couple weeks ago, just wistfully thinking outside the box, in which I said, to me, the dream ticket would be a Trump-Kennedy ticket. Trump could jam Bobby Kennedy down the throats of a Republican National Convention. I say it slightly differently than you do, Tim. I say, never underestimate the stupidity of the Republican Party. But we're in the same place.
I don't think they're stupid. I think they know exactly what they're doing. I think they're a bunch of craven, spineless jellyfish.
You think that highly of them, huh? So, look, they're not going to give Bobby Kennedy a fair shot. He's having difficulty raising money, which is understandable. He is a progressive Democrat. He believes in climate change. I do not. He believes in abortion. I do not. He has changed his views on the Second Amendment in light of the recent COVID scandal, which I admire. But those are not the issues that animate him. The issues that animate him are the hollowing out of the middle class, the destruction of civil liberties, and this rush to thermonuclear war, which could be averted.
Yeah.
So, whether it is as the nominee of a resurgent Republican Party under Donald Trump, or whether it is an independent candidacy, which, look, he could short circuit his Democratic campaign and run as an independent at any time. And I think, frankly, he'd have a clearer and better shot at the presidency. I think he's having a very, very positive effect on the entire system and the entire process. In all honesty, given what happened to his father and his uncle, I pray for his safety every single day, because he is a truth teller and he is exposing their worst secrets.
Yeah, we are in agreement on all points there. And I too pray for him and for his family. It's interesting that most of the Kennedys have turned against Bobby Jr.
That's because he marches to his own drummer. But what I like about him is that he can always defend his position. In other words, there's nothing fake about him. There's no artifice. I mean, he's come to this point on his own. And I think he is unbothered by the fact that the establishment-oriented members of his own family are not for him. I really don't think he cares. It is interesting that he makes this campaign. He has obviously some kind of a degenerative voice defect, which I'm told, by the way, came from a flu vaccination.
Flu vaccination, exactly, yeah.
You know, he sounds like Ethel Kennedy, which is interesting. But I think he has enormous courage, and I think he's having a positive effect. Let's play this out. He runs against Joe Biden. They kneecap him. They never give him a fair shot. They've already short-circuited the Iowa caucuses. They're canceled. The New Hampshire primary, canceled. The process is going to begin in South Carolina. This is all to his disadvantage. That way they can pull the rug on Crazy Joe, which is coming, particularly after today, when he fell at the Naval Academy graduation. They pull the rug on him and they substitute their ultimate nominee, Michelle Obama.
You think it's going to be Big Mike?
I think it's going to be Michelle Obama. I think this for two reasons. First of all, the first contest in their party is South Carolina, which she claims is her native state. It's where grandparents live. It's a state where a majority of the Democratic primary voters are African Americans. The convention just happens to be coincidentally in Chicago, her hometown. She could raise $100 million in 2 weeks. She would be very, very formidable, by the way. It would be a mistake to laugh this off. But I think they pulled the rug on Joe. The combination of his inability to perform in public, constantly falling down, forgetting where he is, wandering, shaking hands with people that don't exist, the epic corruption of his father, of the father, the brother, and the son, which is just going to get hotter and hotter. He was, as you know, the last man standing anyway. They, meaning the Obamas, who really dominate the Democratic Party today. By the way, the Obamas dislike the Clintons even more than we do, just to be absolutely clear.
Oh, I know. They loathe each other.
But they know each other's secrets. So Hillary's made it very clear that she's available. Problem is that nobody wants her. So it's clear to
me. Not even Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live did an epic cold opening where they were just like, go away.
Well, look, the Obamas, they tried to prop up Cory Booker. That didn't work. They tried to prop up Kamala Harris. That didn't work. They tried to prop up Pete Buttigieg. That didn't work. They ended up with Joe Biden as kind of the last man standing. They knew that he was easily controllable. They knew that they had so much evidence of corruption on his part that they could destroy him at any time. And they have allowed him to be president, a position that he's dreamed of his entire life. Getting Dr. Jill to throw in the towel will be much tougher than getting Joe to throw in the towel. But ultimately, he will not agree to resign, and maybe he won't, because he's very, very stubborn and very bullheaded, and he has a huge ego for a guy who's been wrong on every major issue over the last 30 years, then they'll remove him under the 25th Amendment, which simply takes a majority of the cabinet and the approval of the sitting vice president. Barack Obama can line that up in a couple hours of phone calls. So I still think in the end he will not be the Democratic nominee. And that Bobby Kennedy will never be given a free shot, a fair shot at the nomination. This is going to leave tens of thousands of disaffected and disappointed Democrats available to a Trump ticket. If Trump, he doesn't even have to take Bobby for vice president. All he's got to do is pledge to make him attorney general or pledge to make him the head of HHS. And very interestingly, on Laura Ingraham the other night, when asked about whether he would endorse Joe Biden if Biden won the nomination, he ducked the question. When asked if he was what he would do if he was asked to serve in a cabinet position in a Trump administration, he said, well, I'd have to think about that. Meaning he understood that if your country calls on you to serve, you cannot say no. Right. Franklin Roosevelt called on Republicans to serve in his cabinet. John Kennedy called on C. Douglas Dillon, a Republican, to be Secretary of Treasury. Franklin Roosevelt called on Frank Knotts and Henry Stimson to serve as Secretaries of War and Secretary of the Treasury, and they agreed to serve their country during World War II. Richard Nixon had John Connolly, a Democrat, as his Secretary of the Treasury. I think Robert Kennedy, if asked to serve the American people as Attorney General or as Secretary of HHS or in any other position, I suspect that he would do his civic duty, his duty to the country. So Trump doesn't even have to have Bobby on the ticket. There are, by the way, a lot of states where state law requires that you be a registered Republican to appear on the ticket as a Republican nominee for president or vice president, and that would be a problem. But he doesn't even have to have him as vice president. In fact, vice presidency is, as John Nance Garner says, worth a bucket of spit in terms of a position.
A bucket of warm spit.
But Bobby Kennedy as attorney general, or Bobby Kennedy as the head of the FDA, or Bobby Kennedy is the head of the HHS, if Trump would pledge that before the election, I think that would have a powerful effect on the electorate.
You know, that's really intriguing. How about if he heads up HHS with the mandate to clean out DOJ and FBI, and then he switches over to Attorney General to dismantle DHS? That would be a beautiful 1-2 punch.
Look, I think he's an enormously able man. He's a great lawyer. He's a great communicator. And I think he has a vital role to play. Donald Trump is going to face a $600 million onslaught from Ron DeSantis, or Ron DeSantis, however he's saying it today. It's going to get very nasty. I know Ron and his wife. I was criticized recently because I used a literary analogy comparing her to Lady Macbeth, because I think she's the one pushing him into a candidacy, which I think is unwise. If he was just reelected 5 months ago, if he waited till 2028, it would all fall into his lap.
It would have been a shoo-in.
I'm sorry, but comparing her to Lady Macbeth, that's not sexist. It's not misogynistic. Stop with the name calling. It's just literary.
Roger, you were nice. A friend of mine in Texas, after she showed up in that gold lamé prom dress from the 1980s on election night, has dubbed her Walmart Barbie. So every time she refers to Casey DeSantis, she calls her Walmart Barbie. And she agrees with you. She thinks she's the power behind the throne, the one driving it, just like Dr. Jill is driving poor Joe. Roger, you've got a great podcast, The Stone Zone, folks. You can find it on The Stone Zone Live. You can find Roger on Twitter, Roger J. Stone Jr. Roger, what else you got going on? I really enjoyed that Netflix documentary.
Well, folks who want to see both my show, StoneZone.live, or read the various things I'm writing, can go to StoneZone.com. If you want to get your very own Roger Stone Did Nothing Wrong t-shirt, the t-shirt I was arrested in by 29 FBI agents who stormed my home at 6 o'clock in the morning for the non-existent crime of lying to Congress about Russian collusion that never actually happened. Or you want a copy of my book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, or my book on the myth of Russian collusion, you can go to stonezone.com. You can see video there. You can read the various things that I am writing. I'm out there. The StoneZone.live is live every day on Rumble at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. I'm turning out a lot of content because I have a lot to say. It's great to be back on Twitter. I am banned for life on Facebook. I'm banned for life on Instagram. I'm banned for life on YouTube. I'm banned for life on TikTok, although I don't care too much about that because I don't want the red Chinese in my cell phone. But I'm obviously one of the most dangerous people on the face of the planet because I'm banned on all of these social media platforms.
Well, I too am banned on Facebook and Insta for life. I am was demonetized on YouTube, and I've got the Reckoning TNT on Twitter, but at TimboTim62 and at MAGA_Institute are still suspended, Elon. Let's get those unsuspended. Roger, you're a national treasure. Thanks so much for the generosity of your time. I look forward to having you back. You offer such great insights. Folks, that's it for The Reckoning tonight. Stay tuned on TNT Radio for the Javorier Moritz Show. I'm Timothy Shea. Until next time, God bless you. God bless these United States. Keep fighting the good fight.